Amen. Anybody need a worksheet? Didn't get a worksheet? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. And just want to say from the pulpit here, the Don Raker's funeral will be up in Halifax area, because that's where they were coming from. They were coming from above Harrisburg to come to church here when he was still in good health. And it's just the Matamoras Community Church. Is there 3267 Peters Mountain Road? And it says you just go over the mountain, it's just a couple of miles the other side. And it's Thursday night, tomorrow night. 4 to 6 is viewing, and service starts at 6. And then Friday morning is the interment at Fort Indian Town Gap at 10:30. And usually you go there and you meet, and then they take you all back. So that would be Friday morning at 10:30. I would encourage you to do that. And a little update real quick on the building. We've had a good week. You didn't see, not going to see a whole lot going on right now, between now and in the next week and a half. They are going to be putting some gravel down and setting up kind of the base for the parking behind the building. They've been backfilling and those kind of things, putting stone down and so forth. They're actually just a tad ahead schedule, but there was a marker when they bring in the steel. And it's going to be September 30th. They bring in the steel. They start setting it on Monday, right to the 1st of October there. First Monday there in October, so that's where we're coming. So it's so they're ahead of schedule, which is good. So everything's ready to go, and then they move on. And this is just something, and I'm not begging for money. What I'm doing is begging for prayers. All right, it'd be really advantageous, and a good time. And I don't know how the only way we can do this would be a miracle. This is honest goodness truth. But I would love to be able to finish paving everything when we get this thing all done. They're going to have to bring a water line in from the main road for the sprinkler system. So then they have to go across the pavement that's going across here. They're going to dig up some, and this is still stone. And in the price, this is still stone over here. And we do have some new fresh pavement around the back here, and there'll be some here and around the back, so forth. But I don't know. I'm not saying if the Lord moves you to give, that's fine. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just asking you to pray. I don't know how it is, but it'd be awful nice just to be able to finish that whole thing off on the outside by the time we're done next spring. So I don't know how it would happen, but when they have everything here, it's about as cost effective to lay that blacktop then than any other time. So if the Lord brings it in your mind, pray about it. That's all I'm asking. Give it to Him and see what happens. I don't know. I know there's a lot of things we could be doing, but it'd be awful nice if we could just kind of finish that whole outside. So if you think about it, you pray about it. I would appreciate it. Let's take Mark, if you will. Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. We're working our way through. And just a reminder, we're not really doing every verse by verse. What we're doing is going to some portions where Mark throws in some facts, throws in some things, where the other Gospels do not, or at least Matthew did not. When we get to Luke and John, there's a lot of things that Luke throws in, nobody else puts in. A lot of things that John puts in that no one else puts in. And that's kind of the way we're doing. We went through the main sequence of events of the Gospel through Matthew. And there's a few things that Mark likes to put in here. And this evening is one of those little sections. There's a few verses here that he mentions that no one else mentions. So Mark chapter 15, and of course, this is toward the end of Christ's life. Verse number 6, it says, "Now at the feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired." Now the he there is Pilate, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. And so it says, "Now at the feast," the Passover, "he released unto them one prisoner." Now, please don't be upset with me, but it was almost the same thing. And I'm so helpful, I hate to say it this way, but is the president pardons a turkey on Thanksgiving. I'm not trying to be funny here. It's the fact is he's trying to make some kind of publicity, trying to keep everybody happy. And so he had this thing that they did where they would release one of the prisoners. They give a pardon during the Passover. "And with whomsoever they," the people, "desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in their insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do him, Pilate, desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. They were saying, well, okay, you're going to release this guy? You're going to release somebody? You're going to release somebody? And Pilate answered them, saying, well, will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. Well, the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them rather than Jesus. And Pilate answered and said unto them, again unto them, what will ye then that I do unto him whom ye call the king of the Jews? I mean, it makes sense for you to get rid to release Jesus. Is that what you're saying? But he said, to be honest with you, I'm not so sure why you brought this up, because you guys don't like Jesus. But they said, no, we don't want Jesus, we want Barabbas. Okay, well, is that right? Well, then what do you want us to do with this fellow here called the king of the Jews? Verse 13, and they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. Now, that wasn't the answer to the question. That's not what he asked them. He says, what evil has he done? All their answer was, crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Let's pray, and I'm talking about this subject, killing our sin or killing our Savior. Killing our sin or killing our Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for some moments here we have this evening. And Lord, help us to look on the inside. Lord, we say, well, we're all Christians, and that's true, but Lord, we're also sinners. And Lord, just as some people try to refuse salvation, the work of grace that regenerates them, and they'd rather keep their sin. Sometimes we as Christians would rather keep our sin than have you do a work of grace in our heart. Lord, I pray you'll help us to look inwardly this evening. Give us what we need. Each one of us have some issues. May we see ourselves for who we really are. May we not go home self-righteous, but remember that you die for such a worm as I. Lord, I pray that you'll bless in Christ's name. Amen. It's amazing how mortal men can be so blinded by their sin. Our pride can be so dominant. It can so dominate our reasoning that we can't see the obvious actions needed to be taken when we see our sin. We don't realize that what we need to do with it. Take care of our sin. We cannot see our sin, nor the consequences of sin, nor the willingness of the Savior to save us and heal us of our sin. Somehow we get in the middle of our sin and we just get totally blinded by it. You know, actually, Satan is so blinded by his sin that he still thinks he's going to win. I mean, he knows the book. He's read the book. He knows what's in this thing. We can be offered pardon and salvation and yet refuse it because we're not willing to admit guilt and admit the sinfulness of our sin. Paul's talking about the exceeding sinfulness of sin. We are often more than ready to kill the messenger simply because to accept the messenger, we must accept the message, and we don't like the message. And that's kind of what happened with Jesus. Often when I tell somebody how to receive Christ, I go through him being arrested in the garden and take him through the resurrection. And I'll say, you know, the people who wanted him arrested in the garden were the religious people. Why was that? Because he told them that they were sinners like the rest of us, and they didn't want to hear it, so they decided to kill the messenger. Even though the messenger was telling them that, just as John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the Lord, to repent and receive the gospel. And we often don't want to do that. Now, we would rather destroy someone than allow them to make us feel bad and guilty over our own actions, over our own sin. The epitome of this choice is seen in these events. No one is more righteous than Jesus Christ. No one has ever been more pure, more holy, more loving, more unselfish than Jesus Christ. Yet no one has ever been more persecuted and rejected than Christ. These people would rather be associated, watch, they'd rather be associated with their sins, the sins of their fathers. I'll talk about that in a little while. They'd rather be associated with the sins of their fathers and all that's gone on than with the righteousness of Jesus. Instead of getting rid of their sin, they would rather get rid of the Savior. Yet in the process, and at the end here, in the process of sacrificing their Savior instead of their sin, salvation's actually provided. 1 Corinthians 2:8 says, "For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." But God used their blindness to their sin to allow Jesus to be crucified. Number one, when I say sinners, I don't want us to take ourselves out of the running. All right? We're still sinners. And sometimes, you know, the Bible says we have the work of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the flesh is against the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to the other. But if the fact is we always walked in the Spirit, then Paul wouldn't have to write that whole passage there in Galatians 5. I mean, he's writing to save people. Now, it also applies to unsaved people. But the fact is, saved people can he said, in fact, he says, if you're a new man, then put off the old man, put on the new man. And the fact is, we need to get dressed every day. We need to put off the old man every day. Put on the new man every day. And we got to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. So don't put ourselves out of the running. Don't say, well, it's like the old guy every time he had a lot of problems. Every Sunday morning when they leave, the old guy would go out and say, "Preacher, you sure gave it to him today." And next week, "You sure gave it to him today." And one Sunday morning, it snowed and snowed and snowed, and anyone showed up with this old guy and the preacher. The preacher says, "Today's the day. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to let her rip. I'm going to get this boy, and he can't tell me I'm preaching to anybody else." And so he gave it to him both barrels. And we got all done. He walked up to the preacher and says, "Boy, you know what? If they'd been here today, you sure would have given it to him." Number one, sinners are self-serving. Sinners are self-serving. Now, when we are self-serving, we're walking on the sinner's side of the issue. We're not walking in the Spirit. The verse there says, verse 6 says, "Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired." Now, you say, well, that was just a nice little thing. Don't make a big deal of it. Well, hang on. That word desired means whatever they craved, whatever they asked for. And in fact, when you see the example, we know the story well enough, Barabbas was not a good choice. So it didn't necessarily go with somebody that was being imprisoned or were going to be crucified unjustly. Not necessarily. We got an example here. Barabbas was not a great guy. But they got to decide to do whatever they wanted to do, whether right or wrong, good or evil. And you know what I think the people liked? Getting their own way. Like to get your own way? I'll get my own way. They were going to get their own way. And a little thing to the side here, I think that they expected the government to give them what they wanted. Just throwing it in there. He's supposed to do that now for us. Now, I think I mentioned this earlier, but I'm getting ahead of myself, but my guess is they didn't go to Pilate or to the Roman governor who was before him or whatever and say, you know what would be a good idea? Why don't we let somebody loose during the Passover? Just kind of as a nice little... My guess is the politicians try to make everybody happy. In fact, Pilate tried to keep everybody content. Probably said, I tell you what we'll do. They're all in an uproar. We don't need any extra trouble. Let's make them all happy. Let's release one of these guys, because then they'll think we're nice guys, and we'll just let them pick everyone they want. I don't care. Just let them pick one they want and do it. Well, now they think they owe it to them. They think they're owed it because they said, give us whatsoever we desire. You're going to see it here in a second. Look at number two. Sinners are bound to death. Handcuffed to death. We're handcuffed to the old, what's the guy with the sickle? Death himself. Grim Reaper, there you go. They're handcuffed to the Grim Reaper. Just a matter of time until he walks around and gets them. Look at verse 7. And there was one named Barabbas. Bar, B-A-R, in the New Testament means son of. Abba means what? We're supposed to cry Abba, Father. So Barabbas literally means the son of the Father. Now, what he's saying there is that this particular thing is telling us this is the issue of the fathers. This is a descendant of what we've had all along. He's just another one of the rest of us. Just very obvious a sinner. Now, that word son of the Father can sometimes mean, I put it there, can sometimes mean the arrogance of the Father. That's my boy. The swelling pride of the Father. This is who we are. It's kind of like, this is who we are, you deal with it. It's kind of like, nowadays, we're queer and we're here, you better deal with it. We're starting to put Q on the end of LGBT now again. They're happy to be called queer. Weird. He says, and there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound. He's tied up with them that made insurrection with him. So he was in union with dissension. He was part of the dissension that was going on, who had committed murder in the insurrection. So they're standing, insurrection means to stand in position of controversy. Now, it's kind of confusing the way they say it, but you probably got it, maybe I'm just the one who's confused. But what he's saying is, he's bound up in jail. But it makes it sound like he was the leader of this insurrection. Now, he has some other people there who helped him in this insurrection, this rising, this controversy, this upheaval. And in the midst of all this, this riot, boy, there was somebody killed. Boy, I just haven't thinking about that. Boy, it sounds awful contemporary, doesn't it, these days? We don't like what's going on. We'll just have a protest, and we'll just raise a bunch of folks and march. Anyway, in the midst of this protest, they killed some people. Now, he was kind of leading them. But the fact is, now he's in jail, bound with the ones that he was leading. In other words, he's no better off. He thought he was some hotshot. He's just as bad a shape as they are. You find what I'm saying? He may get extra punishment because he was the leader, but they didn't put him in a nicer cell because he was the leader. He's right down there with the rest of them. Sin is sin is sin. There's not good sinners. There's not bad sinners. It's just all sinners. We're sinners. Now, Barabbas, letter B, represents mankind in this story. Barabbas represents mankind. Barabbas was an issue, a son of, the product of our ancestry. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so in this account, when we see Barabbas, that's us. We're tied up in sin like everybody else. We're nobody special. We're sinners. Barabbas was proud and he was self-serving. And he represents mankind. Letter C, Barabbas represents our bondage in sin. Represents our bondage in sin. Barabbas was bound with those that had committed murder with him. Barabbas had led these people into an insurrection where they committed murder, and he did too. And he may have been the big guy and the leader, but he was just as bound and equally under bondage as the rest of them. Now watch me. Satan may be the leader of the instigator of our sin, but he will be bound with the rest of his followers one day. It says that they were thrown into the pit. He was thrown into the pit, and that's where we end up. Well, I'm not as bad as Satan. If you can't go in the presence of God, then when we pass into eternity, we get the opposite of the presence of God. All of it. Just like Satan. My question is, why do we follow him then? The same reason he keeps fighting Christ. We're blinded by our sin. Isaiah 14:12 says this, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Just like it says in Revelation, you're going to be bound to the side of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? He said, listen, this is Satan. Listen, God can whoop Satan just as easy as he can whoop one of us. It is no harder for him, and he can whoop the whole bunch of us, put us out like a light. Sin is sin is sin is sin is sin. Now, I understand, we're not going to lose our salvation if you know Christ as your Savior. However, the principle is, though, we can fight him just like we weren't saved. And don't expect to get his blessing when we do. Can't expect it. We can't expect it. Now, so Barabbas represents the bondage over to letter D. Mankind is following the ways of the rest of the world. That's this whole thing of Barabbas. He was born, he's the father of his ancestors. He was born in sin, and here we are, the son of the father, Barabbas. He was bound with the rest of the rebellious people. They desired the arrogance, they had the same arrogance as their fathers, but the wages of sin is death. I don't care who you are. The big shot, the little shot, middle side shot. It's just, you're done. Doesn't matter who you are. So the fact is, sinners are self-serving. Sinners are bound in death. Number three, sinners demand. It's interesting how that is. Sinners demand. Look at verse 8. It says, and a multitude crying aloud began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. The multitude crying aloud began to desire to do as he had ever done unto them. That word crying aloud is a halloo, as the way they said it. It's to shout, to shout with the purpose of moving another to action. I mean, they just start shouting. And it says they start crying aloud and said, hey! They began, they commenced. In other words, that means they hadn't been doing this. They began to desire, to crave, to call, to require. They started to say, hey, you need, did you forget? You're supposed to give us one of our guys. You're supposed to let somebody loose. Hey, you're supposed to come. We deserve this. Did you hear this thing that, Brother David said over the weekend? He says, do you know, well, we know why we have the problems that we have and we have the riots and so forth? Because we think we have rights. And we demand our rights. When we realize that every single thing that we have is given us to us by the grace of God. There's no right. That's out of the love and the grace of God that we have anything. When you realize that everything's by grace, you start to appreciate everything. You got that shirt on your back? That's by the grace of God. Dinner you had before you came here? By the grace of God. The house you're going to go home to? That's by the grace of God. The plumbing you have on the inside of the house? That's by the grace of God. If you got air conditioning in your car, that's by the grace of God. You've lived this long, that's by the grace of God. Watch this. It goes out there. One of your children is still alive. It's by the grace of God. See, that's hard. You start saying that. Well, wait a minute. It was that expectations thing that he was talking about. We've got an appointment with something that we've already decided is going to happen, and that doesn't happen, and we're disappointed. We're no longer grateful. Expectations ruins gratitude. Really does. So sinners demand, I deserve. So the multitude began to cry aloud to move them, to give us, it's time for you to do for us what you always do. We deserve this. It's now your duty to do this. The crowd began to call for Pilate to give them what they thought they deserved. And this was probably, again, originally given as a goodwill expression, you know, for political appeasement. But now, once it was started, what started as an expression of graciousness is demanded as a right. Do you realize that, and hang on, and I know we've gotten very used to it, but you know, it really wasn't, education was not a right originally. In fact, it was the churches that did it. In fact, that had a lot to do with where Sunday school came from. The first schools in America, most of them were started by Christian organizations. But then we decided that everybody has the right to it, so then we decided government's going to give it to us. Healthcare. That's a hard one, isn't it? We all want it. A job. I have a right for you. How dare you fire me? I'll sue. I have a right to work. How about some funny things like this? A right to running water in your house. See, we have so much that now we claim rights to it and don't realize every single bit of it comes to us by the grace of God. It's a gift of God. We want what we want, and we will not take no for an answer. And that's what sinners do. Number four, sinners make foolish choices. Sinners make foolish choices. Number nine, but Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you King of the Jews? In other words, are you saying you want me to release Jesus? Who says he's the King of the Jews? I'm not following you here. I thought you didn't like these guys. First letter B. For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy, for ill will, for spite, for jealousy. He was surprised that they were asking to have Jesus released, because it actually didn't make sense. It's been obvious that they were against Jesus all along. Verse 11. But the chief priests moved the people that they should rather release Barabbas unto them. So the chief priests moved, they stirred them up, they agitated, excited them, like, over and over continuously. That's really all part of the word there. They say, hey, no, ask for Barabbas. Barabbas. You don't want Barabbas. Jesus thinks you're a sinner. Ask for Barabbas. We're coming up in a presidential election. You know, there's a lot of people who will vote to pad their pocket rather than vote for what's right and what's just. Now, I know that's kind of gray this time. I understand. But we've got to be careful. A lot of times we vote to see whatever we can get in our pocket, not necessarily what's going to be right for the country. Again, the mentality that the world owes us something is going to destroy us. I wish I could remember, Alan probably could remember, there was one of the founding fathers who said, as soon as the people realize that they can vote their leaders in who will give them what they want, our nation will start going down. Is that who it was? Probably was. He's a wise old man. He said, as soon as they realize we can vote them to give us what we want, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Because they figured that out. So, they chose the one, Barabbas, that takes life rather than choosing the one that gives life. You know why? Because the one that gives life requires them to admit themselves a sinner. The one who gives life requires us to feel bad about ourselves before we rejoice in him. Barabbas, you know, he's just like us. In fact, I saw that boy grow up. I know he's had some hard times and got in some things he probably shouldn't have got in. But, you know, he's got a good heart. You ever hear that? You know? I know he murdered somebody. He's robbed six liquor stores, this and that and the other thing. But he's got a good heart. No, he doesn't. And neither do you and neither do I. Our hearts are only as clean as we let the Lord wash it. Verse 12, and Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then that I shall do unto him whom you call the King of the Jews? In other words, obviously you don't want to execute a gracious man such as Jesus. Are you expecting me to pardon both Barabbas and Jesus? I mean, you asked for Barabbas, and I've been asking, I can't pardon both of them. Let's be realistic here. I can't do that. You want me to let Barabbas go? Well, what do you expect me to do with this Jesus fellow? Verse 13, letter E. And they cried out again, crucify him. They make bad choices. I won't get into it, but I had some folks that I've been working with that should have been here this weekend. They should have been here this weekend. Now, I don't think anybody in here would even know who they are. They got as far as the parking lot on Sunday and couldn't bring themselves to get up, come into the door. They made a choice. You know what the problem was going to be? They knew that they were going to have to admit that they were wrong about some things they've been doing, and that's what's caused all the issues that they're dealing with. And so instead, they turn around and left. I mean, that's the honest goodness truth. It's amazing what we will do, the choices we will make. Why? Because we don't want to feel bad. How many times have I said the good feeling comes after the bad feeling? It does. But you got to go through the feeling bad part to come to the repentance part, so you come to the receiving the gospel part for salvation. But same thing. You got to confess your sins. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you say you have no sin, you make God a liar and truth's not in you. So let's just all come, take our halos off and come to church. See what God can do. Number five. Ready? Sinners live in denial. Sinners live in denial. People don't like to be told the truth. Did you hear about the lady who was taking a big long trip to Europe? She called back to her husband and said, hey, dear, how's everything going? Well, I said, the dog died. Poopsie died? You don't just say poopsie died. You don't say it just he died. I mean, my goodness, you don't do that. I mean, listen, I'm going to be gone for a week. I mean, you know which way? You should have said it first. You should have said, you know, he hasn't been feeling well. I had to take him to the vet. And then the next day you say, you know what, I'm not sure, he's not getting better. I think he might be getting a little worse. And the next day you call back and say, the vet's not sure he's going to make it. And then the next day you tell me he died. You don't just blurt out the dog died. Poor Poopsie. Well, how's mom? Well, I had to take her to the vet. You know, we don't like to hear the bad news. We want to play around with it. Play around with it. Look at verse 14. Pilate said to them, why? What evil hath he done? Let's get real. What evil has he done? And they just simply cried out the more exceedingly, super abundantly, crucify him, crucify. Listen, don't mess with my mind with the truth. Don't try to reason with me. I've already made my decision. And the fact is, I think Brother David said, when we're in the flesh, when we're full of sin, we do stupid things. We say stupid things. We do stupid things. We're so blinded by our sin, it's like all reason and rationale goes out the window. That's why you say some of the things that you say to your spouse when you're mad, full of sin. That's why you say some of the things you say to your kids, the lady next door, your boss. He made mention there of something, I've seen it happen a couple times. I know a couple of folks who just, they came in I got fired today. Why? I don't know. I went to the boss and I told him this and this and this and this, they need to change. He said, oh, fine, I'll leave. And they reamed out their boss and they wonder why they got fired, and then they can't find any place else to work. Well, what if they call back for a reference at this point? Pretty well burned that bridge. And so, I don't know why God won't give me a job. You left the one he gave you. Because you wouldn't swallow your pride and do what the boss said. Now, if he's asking you to do something illegal or immoral or something like that, that's a different story. But just because you don't like the way he did it and you're going to do it another way, it's his job, it's his business, it's his money. He owns you for 8 to 5, whatever it is. Sinners deny the facts. Sinners not only lie to others, but they lie to themselves. Satan's been lying to himself for thousands of years. Again, I mentioned it. Why else would Satan continue to fight God if he was willing to recognize that he's going to lose no matter what he does? You know what I think? I think if Satan came back to God and said, I am so sorry. I've been wrong all these years. You are the one, the holy, the mighty, the righteous. I think he'd forgive him. I really do. But he's not going to. You go back and read the Old Testament. I said, this is what's going to happen, this is going to happen. And every while he'll say, but you know, if you'd return, I'd take you back. If you would change your heart, I'd take you back. You go back and read it. This is going to happen, this is going to happen. But the fact is, if you'd return, I'd take you back. Now, I know you're not going to return, so this is going to happen. But if you would, I'd take you back. Sinners deny the facts and they live in fantasy. We conjure up a whole scenario like we think it's going to happen. It was as if these people thought that if they could rid themselves of the perfect example of righteousness, they would no longer be bad or no longer would be guilty of unrighteousness. Now, the righteousness simply shows us who we are. The Word of God is a mirror that reflects who we are. Sometimes we don't like what we see. The Word of God, listen, tells us. It's the schoolmaster to teach us who we are. We get mad at the Word of God. Which one of the kings was it that took a penknife and said, I don't like that part, and cut it up. You know, Jeremiah cut it up and got it like that part. People have been cutting up their Bibles for years, whether figuratively or literally they have been. They didn't even answer the question. They evaded the question, simply demanded. Sinners do that. You ever seen them do that? Maybe you've done it. get in an argument, don't confuse me with the facts. This is what we're going to do. They were more willing to accept their sin than to accept, it sounds funny, they were willing to accept the sin in their life than to accept their guilt. They're willing to accept the consequences, the problems, all the junk that comes with their sin. They'd rather keep that in their life than accept the fact that I'm actually guilty and I'm causing all this. They were more willing to take their chances with allowing the sin to stay in their lives than to confess themselves guilty and deal with the sin. Number six. Ready for this? Sinners are still loved by the Savior. Sinners are still loved by the Savior. Letter A, the death of the Savior brings life to the Son. The son of the Father, Barabbas. He could have been saved. But the fact is, we're all Barabbas. We're just sons of the Father. For by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We're all son of our father Adam. But the death of the Savior brings life to the son of Adam. Verse 15, so Pilate, willing to content the people, to make enough to satisfy the situation, move on, I don't care, you know, let's just do it, give him Barabbas, I don't understand it, we'll go back and get him later. My guess is they had to arrest Barabbas later, and he probably was crucified later. I don't know. Some people think, well, maybe Barabbas got saved because he got grace. I don't know whether he knew. I don't know. I know the one thief on the cross knew. We don't know how he knew, but he knew. So he released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Now, a couple questions. We're all done. When you're faced with your sin, what do you choose? Now, we're still sinners. We're saved. We're still sinners. When you're faced with your sin, what do you choose? For instance, again, Brother Davis mentioned it, and I've mentioned this over the years. When you've sinned against one of your children, is it more important for them to know that you sinned and you see sin for what it is, and then you confess it? Or is it more important for you to save face and not admit that you sinned? Are you willing to apologize, ask for forgiveness? Or is it more important for you to save face? So they won't respect me if I do that. Let me ask you a question. Probably every single one of us somewhere in our life felt like our parents were unjust. They might have been great parents. Probably somewhere along the way we felt like our parents were unjust and did you wrong. If that parent had come back to you and said, I really messed up there, didn't I? I shouldn't have treated you like that. It was wrong, and I'm sorry. And I'm hoping you'll forgive me. Would your assessment of that parent go up or down? See, sin lies to us. And said, you can't tell them you're wrong. They'll never respect you after that. See, sin lies to us. Do you kill the Savior so you don't have to kill your sin? Let's say it this way. Do you stop reading the Bible so it won't convict you? Do you stop listening to that particular preacher because we know right now, I mean, there's some guy on the radio or something, and they're going through a series of messages. Well, I don't want to listen to that because, you know, it actually applies. We'll just find something else that we can listen to right now. I'll wait till they preach against abortion. Bless God, I'm against abortion. I'm against that liquor bunch. I'm against the drug bunch. I will listen to those. I like to. I'm telling you, when he preached that, watch this. Hang on. I like it when he preaches about the second coming and God comes back and just flattens the whole bunch of them. Well, do you like it when the preacher steps on your toes and says, you know what, I can be that much closer to the Lord today than I was before. My relationship can be that much sweeter because I've gotten rid of that much more dirt. Do you kill the Savior or do you kill your sin? How often have we turned our back on our Savior rather than turning our back on our sin? And how often should we have rejected our sin, but we rejected the Savior? You know what? He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. That means he does it every time. And it means he can because he already paid for it. That's why he's justified forgiving our sins. He's already paid for it. And still we don't go to him. How often does that happen? We say, well, I don't want to talk to him about this. And we'd rather shut relationships down with him and just kind of wallow in the mud. And so often he has to bring us to we're up to here in our mud. Till we finally say, well, God, what are you doing? Please save me. He says, well, I'm glad you got your attention here. Let's talk. I didn't put you down in the mud. You just crawled down in there, and the day went by, you just sunk further and further and further in the mess. And by the way, sometimes the most upright or some of the most supposedly spiritual people can sometimes be down in the mud as far as anybody else. Barabbas was bound with the rest of his urchins that were doing the insurrection. Somebody who's saved and looks righteous, has lived and gone to church all their life, can be just as stuck in the mud, just as bound by their sin as anybody else can be. We got to make sure we're not killing the Savior, not throwing him out of our life. Throw the sin out, not the Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for speaking to our hearts here this evening. Tough thought there, but fact is, it was a wonderful thought if we just simply listen to it. And abide by it. Father, thank you for our dear folks. Heads are bowed and our eyes are